How y'all doing today? Very good, very good. Want to say hello to everybody watching online. And did y'all enjoy the Super Bowl last week? Either you're booing because you didn't watch or you're booing because your team lost. How many of y'all were rooting for the New England Patriots? How many of y'all rooting for the Giants? How many of y'all don't even care? You got no life. You got no life. Well, I was in Florida with my mother. My mother turned 75, so we all went to her house and watched the game. We had a great time with her and my brothers and sisters and five of us. We haven't been together in years, so it was really good for us to be together. And so that's why I wasn't here. Plus, a Super Bowl, I got to watch the game. A few things. Number one, I want to keep encouraging you to come on time. How many of y'all, this is your service? How many of y'all, this is your service? Raise your hand real high. Okay. So here's why my challenge to you is that you will be praying for this service, okay? There is about 1,100 empty seats up there, and there's a few hundred still down here, and we pay the same money for all of this room. And it's a stewardship thing, and that you wouldn't see this as, I don't know what you do during the day, but that, you get to hang out Sunday, whatever, and then stroll in the church, and it's all about just you coming versus bringing people. Amen? We used to have a Saturday night service before we moved to this building. I hated it. And two reasons I hated it: it messed up my whole weekend, and because, Friday, and really, it was my whole life was shot. But also, it was a time when people kind of came and got church out of the way, and they didn't bring anybody, and there wasn't a whole lot of business. They just came, got out of the way so they could hang out on Sunday, and I was killing myself for that. And I said, well, we only did it to get into this building. I'll never do it again, but I definitely don't want this service to be like that either, where you just come and, just for you, and then you go home. We want to keep inviting friends, keep praying for new people to come, and that you're bringing people. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, just want to keep fire under you. We never want to get comfortable, get lazy, and especially evangelistically lazy, okay? And if you're not evangelistically lazy, then don't let it go by your head. But if you are, take it personal. Okay. For real, take it personal. You should take it personal. March 6th. Now, I've been challenging you guys to pray for an hour. And some of y'all said, yes, I'm going to do it. You haven't been doing it, or maybe you started and stopped or whatever. March 6th, which is a Tuesday, every Tuesday the men's ministry has a meeting in the cafe. We're going to have a men's ministry in this room. Our goal is to get all those men that committed to praying for an hour in this room, which definitely will overflow this room if they all come, because a whole bunch of thousands of guys committed. And on that night, we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about that hour, that how you spend some things to do during that hour. We're also going to talk about the vision of the church. So whether you committed to praying for an hour or not, I want you to put that on your calendar, see if you can come tonight, that night, and we're going to have a powerful night of worship, prayer, and then talking about vision of the church. Lastly, when you come here, how many of y'all tweet or do Facebook or any kind of social media? Okay, how many of you do Facebook? How about Twitter? Okay, very good. When you leave on Sunday, or when you hear a sermon on the radio or the TV or whatever, but specifically Sunday, I want to challenge you, when you're in church, you can do it while you're in church, don't matter. When you're in church or when you leave, if something speaks to you, just a one-liner, tweet it, send it, put it on your Facebook, post it. And you could say it, you could mention me, as a matter of fact, you should follow me anyway. If you do a Twitter, follow me and follow me on Facebook. But bigger picture is that when you hear something that speaks to you that's from God, it could be what's in the lesson plan, it could be a one-liner you hear, it could be something God whispers to you, send it out to your world and just get a habit of ministering to your world. The other thing is that you want to make sure that when you come to church, you just don't leave feeling better, that you got something that you can look back on, and maybe that one-liner will be that. But you don't want to just feel good. You want to get something, the Word of God, that you can put your faith in. Amen? Okay. And those are three long announcements. Let's see your Bibles. Then we're going to do some special prayer here. Let's see your Bible. You know that was weak, right, Mike? that was tired. Okay, let's try that one more time. Say word! There we go. That's a little better. How about your pen? That's a little weaker. How about your lesson plan? Okay. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. It's Raiders hat on. Those are your boys, huh? It's okay. There's some Raider fans around. They're not in here, but they're around. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend a minute praying. Now, if you remember last week, we were talking about, oh, you weren't here. Oh, I forgot, my bad. Last week we had a sermon on preparing for worship. And when you come to church, you have all these distractions. You know, your girlfriend's late, your wife's late, your husband's late. One of your kids puked out, you need gas in your car, then the traffic, then you come here and cell block C is doing worship, there's no ladies on the stage, and you know, that's what prison worship sounds like, a whole bunch of guys, amen. Cell block C for Christ, okay, that's what that means. But anyway, and you have all these distractions, you got your personal life, your money problems, your relationship problems, and you come to church and you're kind of like, yeah, you're putting it in, and your mind's going this way. Your heart's going this way, you got distractions, and God's trying to get your attention, okay? And so one of the things you want to do before you walk in that door, preferably when you wake up in the morning every day, is get your mind, your desires, your stress, your will, everything focused, singular focus on Christ every single day. So especially now, since we're going to get in the Word, again, if you were distracted, you might have missed worship. You might have heard it, but your heart didn't get it. So we want to focus our minds on Jesus, all right? So put your heart and your mind in the position my body's in, on your knees before God right here, okay? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you that you love us, and we pray we can focus on who you are and what you have done. We pray we can focus on your love for us. And we pray that for the next few minutes, we can forget everything that is not associated with you. Those problems are going to be there when we leave here tonight. Maybe you'll take care of them while we're here, but we pray that our hearts can be focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When I was first received the Lord, I had never been to a Christian church leading up to that, a non-denominational church. And my first experience was Horizon Christian Fellowship right here in, they were in North Park at the time. It was in North Park Theater. And I remember my wife and I walked in, we sat in the back, we were just new Christians. And I remember hearing everybody sing, and I remember crying. And I remember at the time not knowing why I was crying other than thinking, that sounds so beautiful, but why is it making me cry? And we talked a couple weeks ago about worshiping God in spirit and truth. And now looking back on that experience, my soul was in an environment where their souls were reaching up to God. And my soul was almost saying, I'm finally going to be able to reach up to God and worship correctly because I had never been in that environment. And so you can be in church raising your hands, singing words, and not be worshiping because of what's happening here. Now, let me say this. You're worshiping, but it's false worship versus true worship. So today we're going to talk about some characteristics and differences between false worship and true worship. So let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Now in this story, this conversation with the devil and Jesus, we're not going to go through the whole conversation because we're only going to focus on one part of it. But every time the devil speaks, he speaks three times in the Bible. Every time he speaks, he's trying to destroy the relationship between God and man. First time he speaks is in Genesis chapter 3. He tells Adam and Eve, God lied to you. And consequently, they believe the devil and they sin. They eat from the tree they're not supposed to eat. The second time the devil speaks, he speaks to God and he tells God, Job, who is a very wealthy man, Job is using you. If you take his money, he will curse you to your face. So God, knowing Job is sincere and faithful and saying Job is faithful, takes everything he has. Job never curses God. They prove the devil wrong, and then God blesses Job more than he ever had. The third time he speaks is right here to the God-man, Jesus himself, and he tries to turn Jesus against the Father. Now, why is this critical to know? That any time you are tempted by the devil, and by the way, none of you will probably ever be tempted by the devil himself, but his influence. Anytime you attempt it, he is trying to destroy your relationship with God, because if he destroys your relationship with God, then you're done. You're toast. You cannot fight the devil. You cannot win a spiritual battle by yourself without God. So all he wants to do is get you to turn against God somehow. Blame God for your hard times, make it, or blame God for you not having enough fun, or tell you he can give you something better than following Jesus. And all he got to do is, if he can get you to turn away from God, and then he knows he's got you. So whenever he speaks, he's trying to get you to destroy your relationship with God. But ultimately, what he's trying to do is establish a relationship with him, one of worship. So let's read the story. It says in verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Everyone say, duh. Has anybody ever fasted 40 days? Yeah, good, good. You remember not being hungry for a long time? Huh? You were hungry. Oh, you're hungry now. Okay. Do you remember during your fast not being hungry? Oh, you're doing right now. Okay. My bad. It says, verse 3, when the tempter came, I won't talk about food. When the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. Everybody say, if. He will constantly challenge your identity. Are you really saved? Are you really covered? Does God really love you? Is he really going to take care of you? If. And look what he says. Jesus said, it is written. Everyone say, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm really going to kind of skim over this because I'm trying to get to verse 8, but let's keep reading. The devil took him up to a holy city, onto the pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, everyone say, if. You should throw yourself down, for the Bible says, or it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. The devil will use the Bible. Matter of fact, every cult and their religion, they won't tell you the Bible's no good because the Bible's too legit to quit. So you can't do that. So they'll just use a little bit of it because they can't deny it. But they'll pervert it. Look what it says in verse 7. It says, it is written. Say, it is written. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Tempting God means that you will put yourself in a position that requires a miracle to save you without God telling you to be in that position. Now, there are going to be times where God's going to tell you to take a step of faith, and the more faith you have, the bigger step that will be, and the more in a bad position you'll be in if God doesn't come through. So in other words, God will hang you out there, most definitely. But if God hangs you out there, he will come through. But there are going to be times where you say, well, I'm a Christian, so I'm going to hang myself out there. And God says, you're on your own. There's people who gone broke because they hung on some out there. There's people who are in jail because they say, well, I'm going to do this and God's going to take care of me. No, unless God tells you, he has no promise or obligation to save you. But if you're walking by faith, he will absolutely, a lot of times, tell you to take a step of faith that you say, man, I'm going to do it, God, but I don't know. That's how it works. When the devil tells you, no, you're tempting God. Verse 8, here we go. The devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Everyone say, glory. And he said, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Of course, Jesus said, the Bible says you shall worship no one except the Lord God. Number one in your notes, false worship is worship of a false promise of a created being. In other words, the devil is a created being, and he's making a false promise that he can give you something he can't give you. True worship worships a holy character, the holy character of the creator of all things. Now, there was a singer named Luther Vandross. How many of y'all remember Luther? Okay. How many of you do not know who Luther Vandross is? Wow. Wow. What you need to do is go out and Google Luther. If you're in love, you need to get Luther. If you ain't in love, you need to get Luther. Luther was smooth. I always sing Luther to my wife. I can't sing. I always want to sing like Luther. If there's one person, if God said you can sing like anybody, it'd be Luther. And that's my wife believes. She wants me to also sing like Luther. And there was a song he sang, and in the song it said, "If this world were mine," you all remember that, huh? I would give you all these things. Now, the reason he says if, because it didn't belong to him. It don't belong to the devil either. And when the devil's promising you all this stuff he's going to give you and make you happy, he can't deliver that. It's a lie. And he will get you to do what he wants you to do, or, let me put it plainly, live in a very worldly, non-biblical way, a way that's all about me, with the promise that if you do that, you will be satisfied. And it's a lie. He can't give it to you. Now, on the other hand, we should worship God not because of what we get, but because of who he is. And there's a big difference. Because some people come to church, "Oh, Lord, I praise you because I want something." God said, that is not worship. That's not worship. If you're praising me so you can get paid, and I don't mean necessarily money paid, but paid with something, it's like, "I'm going to give this, you get me this." No. We worship God simply because of who he is. Because he's holy. Remember the angel said, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty." Revelation, they said, "Worthy for all our praise," just because of who he is. Now, in addition to that, he does some incredible funky stuff. But if you get distracted that you're looking at the hand of God and not the face of God, now you're looking to get something versus just saying, "Lord, I'm good." Because God is always faithful. God is not always going to do what you want, when you want, how you want. There's an exit off the Mira Mesa Boulevard, Mira Mesa 15, where I used to get on the freeway to come to work when I came to work. And you had the off-ramp or the on-ramp that went around this big circle, and right inside the big circle, the on-ramp, is dirt and there's plants and trees and bushes. So one day, they took it all away. And I was like, how dumb? Why did they take that all away? It looks so nice. And little did I know, they were going to widen the freeway and they needed to prepare for construction. But I was focused on what I saw that day and not the whole process. So today, and that was 2 years ago, today I'm driving down the 15 by the same exit, and there's this big building they've been building for a year right there on the freeway, 15, and they painted it brown. It's just plain brown, ugly. And I'm driving by this morning, coming in here this morning, going, "That's so ugly." And this little voice said, "They ain't done, fool. Wait till the end of the process." And so many times we're like, "God, how can you do this? God, you're not fair. What are you doing?" And God says, "I'm not done with you, fool." You know, the Bible says that he who began a work in you is going to complete it to the day of Christ. He is going to work on you until the day you die. So we praise him not because of the ups or the downs. We praise him because of who he is. And that whatever he's doing in your life is faithful. It's exactly what you need. And you may be going through something really hard for a long time, possibly because you are really, really hard-headed. Amen. How many of y'all hard-headed? There you go. I rest my case. What are you complaining about? I tweeted out something the other day. I'm going to try to remember it, but it was something like, you may be asking God why he hasn't answered your prayers. He wants to know why you haven't obeyed his commands. It's really about obeying God, and he will answer when he wants, when he feels like it, and it will always be right. So, Lord, we thank you. True worshipers, we thank you because you're holy, and we don't need anything in return. Number two, false worship is based on the flesh and a liar. True worship is based on the spirit and truth. When the devil told Jesus, you're hungry, right? He said, yeah. He says, why don't you turn that stone to bread? What he was telling him was, you have a natural desire, hunger, because you haven't eaten in over a month, and you have the power to address that natural desire. You have the power to feed yourself. So use your supernatural power to turn the stones to bread. He will tell you the same thing. You're lonely? Well, stop wearing those Shiite clothes. You'll get that in a minute, okay? How many of you guys have a daughter? Anybody here have a daughter? Okay. Do you ever see the women in Iraq walking around with the little Shiite, all the Shiite stuff? You want to get a daughter. When you get a daughter, you want her to wear that stuff. You don't want anybody seeing nothing. Okay? The devil will tell you, hey, look, you're in America. You don't need a Shia. You need a BB. Get the little BB thing, just a little skirt just like that. Because, see, with all of this right here, you can get a man. Just give me a little wiggle, a little more wiggle, you get a man. Use your smooth talk, fellas, you get a woman. He'll tell you to use your power to satisfy a need you think you're justified in satisfying. God says, Jesus says, no, I'm going to do what God says. Could Jesus use his power to make stones from bread? Yeah, but you know what? When he became a man, he says, that's not what I do. I'm going by the rules. I'm going to live just like you. Matter of fact, the reason that Jesus said it is written three times to the devil, he could have just killed the devil. He created the devil. He created the devil when he was an angel, and the devil rebelled. The reason he said it is written, because he was teaching us how to fight the devil, the word of God. That's why he did that. But the point is that the devil was saying, I'm going to play to your desires, your passions, your weaknesses. But true worship is I'm going to worship you with spirit and with truth. My heart, my rivers of living water. The invisible, eternal, immaterial, non-material, non-physical part of who I am has a different appetite than my physical body. In other words, when your physical body wants to eat a hamburger, your soul says a hamburger does no good for me. When your physical body wants somebody to hug you, your spiritual soul says that don't do any good for me. Your soul needs God. And so you could satisfy the desires of your flesh, and your soul says, you haven't addressed my need. And your soul is going to outlive your body. And so all of this is going to decay. Your soul's never going to decay. It's eternal. Don't age. And so your soul has different needs, different appetites, different satisfaction. So false worship is all about your physical needs, your emotional. Now, true worship is about the spirit, and spirit and truth. Based on fact, not on a lie. Number three, false worship separates you from God. True worship brings us closer to God. You become intimate with who you worship. You become intimate, close to who you worship. If you worship the devil, and again, you're never going to bow down, most likely, oh, Satan, oh, Satan, but you will bow down, oh, almighty dollar, oh, Mercedes, or Mercedes, oh, all the honeys, oh, all the guys, or whatever, or your sex, or your pornography, or your addiction, or your drugs, your cocaine, whatever. That's what you bow down to. That's what you serve. That's what you live. You can't have two masters. You could have one or the other. And if you draw close to one, you will despise the other. And if you draw close to the other, you will despise the other. But you can't have two masters. And so if you're going to whatever master you go to say, I trust you, I rely on you, that's the master you're going to draw close to. And when you draw close to God, you become more like God. And so true worship is going to draw you closer to God. False worship is going to draw you away from God. And so why it's critically important when you come to church, when you wake up in the morning, is that you're ready to worship God with your day. Remember, worship is a spontaneous response of respect at the revelation of God. A spontaneous response of respect at the revelation of God, that when you wake up in the morning or whenever you do your prayer time, that you are responding to God all throughout the day. I was watching the golf today, and Tiger Woods missed this putt. Actually, he missed a whole bunch of short putts. And I don't know him, don't know anything about his, I don't know him. I know him just like whatever you watch the TV, but he missed this putt, and he gets fed. Fed is a short for fed up or hot, when someone is fed. Y'all heard that term before? You never heard it? Or if someone says, oh, he was fed. He was fed up. He was mad. That's what that means, fed, F-E-D. And so he missed his putt. It was like that long. I don't know how short it was, but it was short. And he just, you know, you could see him. He just walks around. He walked around like this to get his ball. And he walked around. And the ball's right there. And he just stood there for like a minute. Did anybody see this today? Y'all don't watch golf, okay. And I seen him do this and go down and get his ball and go, just get his ball. But he stood there 30 seconds to a minute, which is an eternity when he's on the green to put the ball away, he just stood there like this. I was like, that brother's praying. He's got to be praying. He looked like he was like, I don't know who he's praying to because I don't know him. But he just stood there like this, and I'm guessing, because like I said, he ain't told me this, but I'm sure in his mind he was going, what the heck is going on? Calm down. Calm down. Don't go off. You know you can do that? Anytime during the day, step back from your world and say, Lord, I want to focus on you. I've been distracted. I spoke in Miami yesterday, and right before, I couldn't get any peace and quiet. And I just went in this hallway and just stood there like this. And I try to block everything out and say, okay, God, me and you right now, let's just focus. And I want to draw really close to you, God, because all this stuff is distracting me. I need you right here. I got to surrender. True worship draws you close to God and keeps you close. Number four, true worship nurtures a desire to worship. False worship nurtures a desire to worship self. True worship nurtures a hunger and thirst to worship the Creator. In other words, not only do you draw close to God, you want to worship God. How many of y'all drink coffee in the morning? Raise your hand up high like you proud. Go ahead, put your hand up there. Yeah, all my caffeine cuddlies. Okay, there you go. You wake up in the morning, and how many of y'all wake up in the morning, and be honest, when you get up, one of the first things you got to do is have your Frappuccino Macaleke Leke Laka Luki. Coffee. That's short for coffee. Can anybody raise your hand? Okay, so here's the deal. You get up, and my assumption, and I'm assuming, I mean, wrong, my opinion means what? Is this, that you are addicted to caffeine. And how you know is that if you just stop for like a week, and you'll see yourself. Say, you all right, man? How long has it been? Just a couple hours. You wake up every day and your body, your physiology, your biology is screaming for coffee. It's an addiction. Your body is screaming for coffee and it's not screaming for God. God says, I wish you needed me like that. And when your soul gets a taste of God, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When your soul gets a taste of God and you can experience an encounter with God where he gives you his peace and he can take that burden that you carry every day and take it off your shoulder. And when you get a taste of God, you will get to the point where you got to have that. That's what he wants to get you to. When you wake up and before you go to bed at night, and by the way, some of y'all say, well, I pray at night. I'm not saying you have to pray in the morning. There's a frog in Madagascar called the tomato frog. It's red. And when something attacks the tomato frog, it leaks out white poison all over its body. And so if something bites it, it'll leak out the white poison, and then whoever's eating it, spit it out. And the tomato frog lives, but homeboy's all chewed up. So he's like hopping like this. He can't even hop no more. And so, some people, like, they'll get up and they'll fight the devil all day, get beat up all day. And then they'll go to bed and go, okay, God, please bless tomorrow. He's like, if you would have prayed this like 9 hours ago, if you would have spent that time with me in the morning, I don't have any time. Well, listen, guess what God does? God redeems time. Hear what God does. God created time. You know that, right? There was a time when there was no time, and when there was no time, you couldn't call it time, so that's when it existed. Before there was, you can't even say it because there was no time. Just say there was in. You know what's funny about that? You don't know what I said, but you know what I said, right? You can have 10 hours of work to do in your 10-hour day, or however long your day is. And if you say to God, God, I am making time for you, God will make time for you. Your 10 hours of work may go down to 7. you know what I love what happens when I have an appointment and then I have a lot of stuff come up and they say, oh, I can't make it. Yes. Because time is so limited. But your time with God is the most important time you have. Make that time. If you make that time in the morning, your whole day is now reorganized. God does what he does in your day, but more importantly, he does something in your heart. Where now your decisions are not based on the stress that you used to have. Because you don't have it anymore. It's not based on you thinking God ain't on your side because now you know he is. Everything changes when you align yourself with the Lord in the morning. And then during the day, when you feel, you sense God, oh, you're getting a little drifting away. Not that he's physically going away from you, but you're starting to think on your own and you're starting to take the burden on yourself, trying to do things on yourself. You say, okay, whoa, okay. And you take your minute, take your 5 minutes in your car. Come on, God, I'm surrendering myself afresh. I don't want to do this today by myself. I don't want to deal with this guy or this woman by myself. I don't want to deal with this situation by myself. I want to deal with you. All throughout the day, your whole life will be different. That is worship. This is not the only way you worship. So imagine having a whole day where all day long you are responding out of respect to God by surrendering your thoughts and your desires and your fears and your pressure to him, and you sense his relief. Whew, you want that. Number five, false worship will make you a slave in bondage. True worship will make you a liberated servant. The devil wants you in bondage. He will enslave you, and he will enslave you until he destroys you. Number six, false worship is humility before Satan. True worship is humility before God. You will and do have a master. You will and do have a master. And every day you go to bed, one of your masters says, well done, good and faithful servant. The devil or God? Every day when you lay your head on your pillow, I know people have talked about when I die, I want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You got to deal with that every single day. When you go to bed tonight, either the devil's going to say, good job, honey, good job, fella, or God is going to say, good job. One of the two. And what's going to determine that is who you bow before. The problem is sometimes we go all day, okay, God, I bow. Half hour later, okay, Satan, I'm bowing. A few minutes later, okay, God, my bad. Back to Satan, okay, Satan, I'm in. And God's like, you got to make up your mind. Because I don't want to have an affair. I don't want to have an adulterous affair with you. You're married to me, you're married to Satan. You're married to me, you're cheating on what? Spiritually married. That's what that means. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to surrender to God. Remember, worship is a response, a spontaneous response of respect at the revelation of God. And when you realize how much God loves you and you realize how much you need God and you realize how powerful your life can be surrendered to God, that you just spontaneously say, God, I give my life to you. Versus going through the motions of just coming to church at 5 o'clock or whenever you come, because I have to, because it makes me feel good. Okay, God says, no, I want you to pursue me. Salvation is like marriage, two becoming one. Marriage is a metaphor for salvation. All throughout the Bible, God is the groom or the husband, and his people are his bride. All throughout the Bible. As a matter of fact, he talks about Israel as whoring after other gods because Israel is supposed to be his wife, and she's over there messing around worshiping other things. Some of us are whoring after other gods. And we have to say, Lord, I want to be faithful to you. And I want you to be, I want to be one with you. And I want to be a faithful spouse. And when you're a faithful spouse, everything else is secondary. I love my wife not because of things she can do for me or how good she makes me feel, even though we enjoy each other's company. I love her because of who she is, and vice versa. We gotta love God for who he is. Some of you are cheating on God, and he wants you back. He wants you to be faithful to him. He wants all of you. You would never marry someone who you didn't think was faithful to you. But some of y'all ask God to be your savior, and you're not faithful to him. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, I want to be faithful, whatever that means. Whatever that means. Some of y'all like this. Okay, God, I want to come to church, but I don't want my whole heart because you may make me do something. Oh, yeah, he's going to make you do something. I'll tell you that now. Oh, you may make me give up something. Oh, yeah, you're going to give up something. I'll tell you that right now. I ain't going to fool. I ain't going to lie. But whatever it is, he got something better for you. Or you may make me weird. You're already weird. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But he's going to make you weirder. But the weird he's going to make you is going to be better. So you're like this, God. You come to church like this. I'm going to challenge you to do this. Stop holding back. Everything you have, he gave you. He can take it if he wants. He just wants you to open your hand so it don't hurt when he takes it and then gives you something else. But whatever it is, he moves around, it's going to be better. Remember, you're under construction. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for being good to us, and we thank you that you are so trustworthy. And Lord, I pray that people would surrender to you. I pray that out of their realization of how faithful you are and how holy you are, and how deceitful the devil is, that they would surrender to you, that they would humbly bow before you their whole life. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you are ready and you want to surrender your life to Christ, you may be a Christian, you may not be, but you want to surrender all you know about yourself to all you know about God. Pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, my soul knows very well its need for you. So I surrender it to you. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of being hard-headed. Take my burden. I surrender my life to you. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that, male or female, but I want to make a special emphasis to the guys. And I've been challenging you guys to pray. We had the men's choir here today. I want to challenge you guys. God wants your heart. He wants your family, but he's going to get to your family through you. He wants your business. He's going to get to it through you. He wants your influence, and he's going to get to it through you. He's given us, guys, his title, Father, Son. He's given us a great responsibility, and our chief responsibility is to be a servant to him. So in a minute, I'm going to ask all y'all who prayed to stand, but I want to especially challenge the men who need to surrender. Surrender your pride, your ego to God. Because you know there's more of you that you need to give up to God, that you're holding back. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If that is you or you pray for whatever reason, I'm just going to ask you right now to stand up in your seat wherever you are. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, 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 very good, God bless all of you, very good, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, very good, God bless you, very good, all over the room. Anybody else, stand up, God bless you, very good. bless you.